You have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Hope y'all are looking forward to the snow this afternoon. The North Carolina snow that we're going to get, also known as rain. All right, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 25. But before we get into the message this morning, let's pray. Father, I ask now that you would speak. Lord, that you would open our ears, our minds, our hearts to your word, what it is you would have for us to learn. Lord, as we walk through different passages of Scripture and apply these principles to what we're going to talk about this morning, God, I pray that you would speak, that your Spirit would speak to us. God, that what is said would be what you would have said, nothing more and nothing less. Because, God, we are in desperate need to hear from you. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that this morning. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a big difference between having guests at your house and being a guest at someone else's house, right? When you have guests over, you have to make sure that your house is clean, at least the parts that people are going to see, right? You have to cook all the food. You have to set the table. You have to put away the food when it's all said and done. You have to clean up, wash the dishes, put them away. It's a lot of work to host somebody for dinner. But when you are a guest, you show up to a clean house with a cooked meal. You eat, you talk, you have a good time. And although you may help clean up, there is no obligation to do that. You are within your rights to simply just, y'all have a good night, thanks for the food, and leave, right? When everything is done, you can just get in your car and go home. You don't have to take out the trash. You don't have to deal with leftovers or dishes or anything. There's a difference. When we are at home, we are expected to do things, to take care of what is needed. And we have to deal with this with children, right? There comes a time when we have to teach them that daddy and mommy shouldn't have to do everything for you because you are a member of this family. You should do your part as well. You have to clean your room, your bathroom, take out the trash, do all these things that are needing to be done. And when we say, hey, go wash the dishes, we don't want to hear why. We just want you to do it, right? You're a part of the family. You need to go and do it. But when we are a guest, when we're not part of the family, we're not expected to do anything. Like I said, we may help, but it's not expected. I fear that the guest mindset can often find its way into the church. Maybe we don't think this way, but we do. We view ourselves as guests rather than members of God's family. And thinking this way causes us to feel that it is someone else's responsibility to serve, to volunteer, to give of their time and their talent. But listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members of one of another. I mean, this is a statement from God's word that changes everything. Think about your body. You have your hand, your foot, your arm. They all have a purpose, right? Without them, the body suffers. This is also true of the body of Christ. We are all different parts. And when one part doesn't take part, the entire body suffers. When one person stands on the sidelines and leaves it up to everyone else, then the church, the body of Christ, is weakened. Why? Because we are better together. We're all meant to serve together. If we are part of a church, we are not guests. We are family. And we have a responsibility to serve, to give our time, to make our talents and gifts available for the advancement of God's kingdom and of our church. And as seen in Scripture, this is not an option, but rather an expectation of the Lord. When you look at Nehemiah in the Old Testament, he goes back to his hometown of Jerusalem, and the walls are down. He wants to see the walls rebuilt. He rallies the people together and says, hey, it's going to take all of us, everyone doing their part. Nobody is excluded. In the book of Acts, we see numerous times when the church meets together that everyone is serving in the local church. Everyone did their part. So the blueprint in the Old and New Testaments is families that serve together. As a church, we are a family and we are to serve together. So the responsibility doesn't fall on the pastor or even the person sitting next to you, in front of you, or behind you. The responsibility falls on you. One of the challenges that we face, though, is that by nature we are self-absorbed. It is part of our sinful nature to think more often of ourselves than we do of others. Everything in society screams that the most important person on the planet is me, you, us, right? It's the individual. This problem started with Adam and Eve, continued with Cain and Abel. Right? Cain thought that he was more important than Abel, and so what did he do? He took Abel out. This has continued on through every generation. Jesus even had to fight this correct this wrong view in his own disciples in Mark 10. Listen to this. Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Jesus bears his soul to his disciples. This is what's going to happen to me. Listen to what James and John say. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus is sharing about his death, the agony that he is going to have to face with 12 of his best friends. And these are two of the three closest people to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And he is going through this and saying, "I'm going to go through agony and pain and suffering and torment and torture and all these things." And James and John respond by saying that they want the best seats in heaven next to him, at his right hand and his left hand. There's no consideration. "Oh, Jesus, what can we do to help with this? Why do you have to do this? What can we do to support you, to encourage you, to be there for you?" There's no thought of Jesus at all. It is only self-centered and completely and utter selfishness. All the time they had spent with Jesus, and they still didn't get it. So what does Jesus say? This is why Jesus is Jesus and not us. Right? Because if that were one of us, I think we might have responded a little differently. Right? If I was telling them something that I was agonizing over and they're like, "You know what?" And they just started talking about themselves. Those are the kind of friends we don't really like to have. Right? We want friends that will listen to them and they'll listen to us. And we will talk and we'll support and love each other. But this is what Jesus says. He called to them and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Did you catch what Jesus said? He pointed out to the disciples that many people around them would flaunt their authority. And they do not serve others, they only serve themselves. But he says, it's going to be different for you. In essence, if Jesus is saying that if we are going to be part of his family, we are not going to be self-absorbed or expect everyone else to serve while we stand on the sidelines. Other people can stand on the sidelines, think only of themselves and never serve, but among his people, it's going to be different. Here's a simple and clear truth. God created us to serve. Because he created us to serve, and because he is a loving God who wants to bless us, he has set aside benefits that are given to us when we serve. I think it's just awesome how God does that. He creates us in a certain way, and then we benefit from obeying him. Here's just a few ways that serving benefits us. Serving provides us with purpose and fulfillment. We can find things in our lives that bring us fulfillment, right? Love, family. But there is always going to be a piece of our heart that will never experience fulfillment until we begin to use our time and talents to serve the kingdom of God. It isn't because those other things aren't good, but there is something inside of us, because God made us this way, that will not find fulfillment in anything but service to God. 1 Peter 4:10 says it this way, "As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." If you're a believer here this morning, God has given you a gift. You may not think it, you may not realize it, you might not even understand or know what it is at this moment, but God has given you a gift, and he has provided this gift to be used for his kingdom, for us to serve one another. 1 Peter 1:2 says that God has chosen us and called us, meaning that we were created to serve others through the local church. And if the Lord created us this way, then nothing's going to be able to take its place. You will never find full fulfillment until you obey God in this area. Last week it was giving, right? Everybody's favorite topic. If you don't obey God and his commands about giving, you will not obey him in all things. Now it is, you need to obey him in this area as well. We were born again to serve. But serving also nourishes our soul. When we respond to what God has called us to do, it brings a sense of life to our soul. I love what Jesus said after his encounter with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The disciples have left to go find food, right? And they're coming back. And Jesus has had his encounter. They're trying to get him to eat. And Jesus says, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And they, you know, being disciples, I would imagine, are like, "Well, then why in the world did you send us away to get food? If you've got food, why did we have to go get food?" He explains to them a couple of verses later. He says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." See, Jesus explains that there is a different kind of nourishment for our souls that can only come when we serve God. He was serving God. God was filling him up, not with food, but with the soul food that he needed. One other thing that I think is interesting that I wanted to add in here today is that serving provides health benefits. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just think it's amazing that God created our bodies in such a way that there are actual health benefits to obeying his command to serve. Science has proven that serving can bring an increase in quality of relationships, it can boost self-esteem, it can make us happier, it can reduce stress, and it can lengthen our life expectancy. That's proven by science, if we serve. And that's God saying, "Hey, I don't have to do any of these things for you. I've just called you to serve me. But because I am a good God, I'm going to bless you if you serve me." He is so good. So good. See, the church is the place where people in communities big or small, find hope, healing, and relationship. And God's master plan was that the church, including this church, would be the agent of change in the world. God had created the church, no matter where it is, to be a lighthouse to the world in need. But unfortunately, many churches are filled with people who have not yet followed Christ in the area of serving. And as a result, the church suffers. So many ministry ideas never get off the ground, and so many areas of ministry never reach their potential simply because people choose to ignore God's clear call on them to serve. Our church has places for you to serve, and Jesus wants you to serve there. So find a need and fill it. There are plenty of places to get involved, positions to fill, even ministries that need someone to step in and revamp them. You don't got to wait for somebody to come and approach you. You don't even have to wait for those opportunity to serve sheets to come out in the fall. You can start now. You can start today. Find a need and fill it. Call. God has called you to serve, and you were created for it. Don't think it's someone else's responsibility and not yours to serve, because that isn't true. If you are part of God's family, then He wants you to serve. And some of us may be saying, well, Richard, I've done my time. I've served and served and served, and now I'm taking my time off. I'm taking a break. I'm too old. I've never heard that one. As long as you've got breath, amen, God's not done with you. Amen. So if there is something that you can do, God wants you to do it. So what are you waiting for? You're not on the sidelines. You're not supposed to be on the sidelines. Get off the sidelines. Get in the game. So what does this mean for you and your life? Well, if you are a Christian, you can commit to serve the Lord in the church. And you may have listened to these first three sermons, and you may be saying, Richard, I realize what you've talked about is true, and it's already true of me. I'm loving like I should. I'm giving like I should. I'm serving like I should. I'm doing everything that you're asking us to do in these sermons. And if that's you, keep it up. We need you. And we want you to keep doing what God has called you to do. Maybe you realize this morning that, hey, I'm sitting on the sidelines and I need to get in the game. I thought I retired. You know, right? I just wanted to come and sit in church and hear sermons. I don't want to do anything. Well, you need to get in the game. We have places for you to serve, and Jesus wants you to serve there. So get involved. God has given you gifts that we need. You have unique gifts that this church needs. And if they're not being used, then we're not going to function well. Just like a body. If a part of a body is not healthy, then the rest of the body is going to suffer. In the same way as a church, if part of our body is not doing what God has called it to do, the whole body will suffer. We need you. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can't serve the Lord until you come to Him for salvation. You see, God, as we sang this morning, is a holy God. We sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He is the one who is perfect, without blemish, and sin cannot enter into His presence, which is a problem for us because we are all sinners. But God has made a way to deal with our sin so that we can have a relationship with Him. On our own, we are separated from God. There's nothing we can do about it. But through Jesus, we have a way to get back to God. To God redeemed us and bought us out of that sin, and He did so by Jesus living a perfect, sinless life in our place. Something we couldn't do, Jesus did on our behalf. And since our sin must be paid for because God is a holy God, Jesus paid it all on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. To receive that gift that Jesus offers, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Would you pray with me? Father, as we close this time together in your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us even now, that you would move in our hearts. Let us know where there are areas where we are in need of responding to you. God, if there's service in our lives that we're not doing because of whatever reason, God, that we would commit to serve you, to use our gifts to your honor and to your glory, to further your kingdom and to help your body here at Benvenue. Lord, if there's somebody who doesn't know you, I pray they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved today. Lord, we pray that you would just move during this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.